But all got quiet all of a sudden. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Whitestone Christian Fellowship. Nice to see everybody here. Nice brisk fall morning for us. And the Lord's good, and everybody made it here on time in spite of the change of hour. I hope somebody didn't come at 9 o'clock instead by chance. And oh. Went home for breakfast, I hope. Oh. Anyway, well, we're glad you're here now. And next spring you get to be an hour late, and that's fine. If you would open your bulletins, we'll go through them quickly. Our reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 3. He maketh my way perfect is what I entitled this week's. And we'll be going through the next little segment and section of Psalm 18. It's just a rich, rich psalm. When I looked at it last week, you know, there's 50 or 51 verses in it. And it's just too full to cover all at once. So we're breaking it up into smaller sections that are a little easier to digest. If you would also look at your schedule for the week, on Monday we have ladies Bible study. It's our normal schedule, and all the ladies are welcome to attend. I did not put in here that at 7 p.m. is our trustee meeting tomorrow night here at the church for the board. So just a reminder for all of you trustees. And on Thursday, we've canceled the midweek study this week, and it's going to be a time to put together the Christmas craft sale, which is actually going to be down here this year. And so we're going to be taking the chairs down and sweeping up, and then putting the tables up, and then putting everything out on display for Saturday. So if you're looking for something to do and instead of Bible study on that evening, we'd sure appreciate the help. And on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. is men's prayer, which of course is open to anyone who has a prayer need that they'd like to come in and share and be prayed over for an anointing or hands laid on, and always a cup of coffee and conversation as well if you're interested. On our announcements, there's one that I was reminded of this morning as a newsletter came in, and Dan mentioned it to me. Maggie's camp that we've been supporting and participating in for the last couple of summers. It is it's an outreach of Community Lutheran Ministries up in the city, and it's run by a wonderful Christian lady by the name of Maggie Harris, and they are looking for volunteers to help serve Thanksgiving dinner. I think it's going to be November the 24th. At Maggie's camp downtown. So if you'd like to look at that and, you know, pray about volunteering and participating in that, I know it's greatly appreciated. Coming up for our regular announcements here, we have the Christmas craft sale coming up this coming Saturday the 10th. It's going to run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and we hope you'll come in as we open the doors to the community to come in and help them decorate their homes for not only Christmas, but for Thanksgiving as well. And we're going to be looking for people that can bake. We're going to be looking for volunteers that can help serve and package and check people out, and all of the rest that goes with it. It's usually a great day of fellowship and a lot of fun. So come on in next week. And there's still election guides over on the table for those of you that are interested in looking at some of the issues that are of interest to Christians and to believers. It's put together by the Christian Coalition. It doesn't push you one way or the other towards any one candidate, but it does give you some facts on their voting record and the policies that are being put in place with the current administration. So it just is an informative piece for all of us, and it covers not only the national elections for the president and vice president, but it also covers our local Senate as well. Also with the real needs that are going on here, Samaritan's Purse. We have our Christmas shoe boxes. Those are due back next Sunday or the following Thursday at the latest. They need to be ready to go on Friday the 16th for delivery to our collection center, which is over in Ionia. And we just like to make sure that all the Christmas boxes for the kids are back in here either next Sunday or the following Thursday, the 11th or the 15th. Also with Samaritan's Purse, please pray for all the things that are going on. Samaritan's Purse with the Billy Graham organization has a huge outreach and for disaster relief. And they are already on the ground and working diligently in the downstate New Jersey and Long Island area, helping people recover. There's opportunities to make donations to Samaritan's Purse specifically for the relief area or for the relief effort. And that takes us right over into our prayer requests, and that we might pray for all of those folks that are down in New York City, the New Jersey and Long Island area that have suffered tremendous losses. The effects of any hurricane are devastating, and when we see that Hurricane Sandy did to New York what Katrina did to New Orleans a few years ago in 2005, it's just beyond belief. So pray for all of those that are suffering loss. Pray for the Lord to minister to those and heal them and encourage them and strengthen them. Pray for the relief workers, the first responders, the search and rescue personnel. Pray for the utility workers that are being drawn in from all over the Eastern Seaboard to help restore power and everything to them. It seems that New York Power and Electric Company is just amazing. They are working diligently, and many of the areas are already back. Many areas that lost power are back up and running again. So progress is being made, but continue to pray. We also have our prayer requests for those that are here in or outside of the body of Christ here at Whitestone. just our usual list, but we're praying for Bill and Donna. This is Bill Turner from Turner Automotive here locally. He's just going through a really difficult time with some cancer treatments. Things are very difficult for him. And we also have all of the others that we've been praying for, folks that are in your family, your coworkers and friends and neighbors. We also have somebody from that the ladies' ministry from outside the body, somebody they're familiar with, and that's a gal by the name of Pat Pucci. She's been struggling with some eye problems lately, and she had an eye procedure this past week, and she's doing okay. It wasn't as severe as they thought it was going to be, so I pray she's going to be out of work for a little bit, and she's healing up well. Also, for needs here in the body of Christ in our congregation, we're praying for Linda. We're praying for Marge and Bill and for Kayla and Sue. We're praying for Carol and Ron and Peggy. And, of course, we have Don and Gloria on the list. And Gloria is not doing great. She's thin as a rail, but she has her sense of humor, and she's got her mind made up that she's going to be eating regular meals. And she's going to, if this is the time that the Lord's going to take her home, she's going to spend it eating the foods that she likes rather than on the strict diet that she has been on. So pray for Don and for Gloria. Continue to pray for the healing that Gloria desires. If anybody is interested in making meals, they're open to that. Don's fresh out of recipes. Anything after a fried egg, and he's pretty well done with. So pray that the Lord might lead you to make a meal, and they really appreciate the smaller meals because there's just the two of them in the house. So if you can make something that's freezable, that's good. Nothing spicy, nothing with garlic, just to let them know. Sue Hotchkiss is going to be going down on a fairly regular basis, and so she's available to deliver those meals to them down in Rushville. Also, we ask that you would pray for Vinny Arena. Things have been going really well with the installation of the new boiler, and he came in Friday to fire it up, and oops, the thermostat wires weren't hooked up yet, and the water wasn't in the system yet, and so when they turned the water on, there was leaks all over the place. So pray that Vinny knows and can discern how to figure out to stop the leaks and hook up the wires correctly. He's done this as a career for his whole life, so. I have no doubt that the Lord will lead him and guide him, but pray, because I guess Friday he was a little on the frustrated side. Also, we could pray for those that are in missions, Tim Mumpson in the Philippines, the Kellys in Tanzania, Sean in Africa, Moses in Tanzania as well, and David LeCompte. There's a new newsletter up on the bulletin board from David and his ministry as he's getting ready to go back to. Chechnya, the former Russian Republic, and just I pray that the Lord would lead you in supporting any of these people. Pray for those that are serving in the military as well as their families back here at home. And there's several people here that we've got listed: Scott, Ray, Daphne, Chris, Michael, Kevin, Matthew, Brian, and Jesse. Pray that the Lord would just give them all that they need for protection, for provision, for fellowship, and with His Holy Spirit. Pray that the government elections go the way the Lord wants them to. And you know, it's kind of a foolish statement, but I guess nothing wrong with praying for the Lord's will to be done. I would just encourage everybody to get out and vote this coming Tuesday. That's going to be the biggest thing, to make a showing at the polls. Remember to pray for those that are incarcerated. Remember to pray for their chaplains and for our brother Jim in Buffalo, who's on parole. Remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Lord directs us in Psalm 122. Remember to pray for the church that's under persecution, for Christian marriages and relationships. And we're just so blessed because we have all of these things to pray for. And remember at the end of your prayers to pray for yourself as well. Heavenly Father, as we gather together this morning, we're just excited for this next section of Psalm 18. We ask that you would be with us, that you would impart wisdom and peace among us, and that everything would be done rightfully and in order this morning. We ask that as we share communion together this morning, that you would be glorified in all that we do, and that your name would be raised up on high. May it also be raised up on high in our praises and in our worship. We ask that you would be with us this morning. And Lord, with all those that are on our prayer list, the ones that are hurting, the ones that are sick, the ones that are acutely ill and those that are chronically ill, Lord, strengthen and heal, encourage, and Lord, give us that willingness to suffer long for you. We just thank you, Lord, and we ask you to be with us, guide our fellowship this afternoon, and give us a good day. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just the pitter-patter of tiny feet. And the clomping of the big ones, too. If you would turn your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 8 this morning, we'll read verses 13 to 18 together. We have we've just been so blessed this past week. The news coverage has been horrendous, and the Lord's grace and mercy is all over us. In spite of all that's gone on, when we think of how much devastation the hurricane brought to downstate, we fully acknowledge that there was a minimum of damage up here. And all things considered, even a low number of power outages. Yes, there were thousands of people without power, but there's hundreds of thousands that live in the area. So God was gracious to us up here. I also might just put in a little word here for Traveling Mercies for our Thursday night congregant, Hank. He's heading down to Florida this week for the next month, so you could pray for him and his connections and his Traveling Mercies as he travels through New York to head to Florida. In Isaiah chapter 8, verses 13 through 18, if you'll read with me, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among the disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." It's kind of an amazing thing when you understand that the Lord has chosen the house of Israel. He's chosen the 12 tribes. He's chosen them for a people to call his own. And yet, because of their rebellion, because of their compromising their faith, because of the idolatry that they fell into, because of outside influences, the nations and tribes of people around them, their exposure to the rituals and the idolatry in Egypt for over 400 years, some of those things just all filtered back. And how susceptible we all can be when we find that there's other teachings, there's other religions, there's other belief systems around us. And the first verse there is just kind of outrageous when we think of our God as a God of love, an approachable God, a God who is loving and provisional and protective. And it says sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. We usually don't think of God as being somebody to fear, but there's a holy fear, there's a holy respect that he's due. Because of his ultimate power and his tremendous abilities to do all things, he can even do tremendous things through us when we're following him. And it says, let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Well, I think we all know what dread is, and I think the purpose here is to say that I dread to do anything that wouldn't bring glory to his name, because he is the one that is sanctified holy. He's sanctified for our sake. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, that one that is all-powerful and that has control of everything going on in our lives. He has control of everything going on in the earth. He had control of hurricane. He had control of everything. We cringe at the thought of huge natural disasters like the one that has been on the East Coast. And yet there were so many warnings. For weeks ahead, they tracked it to the East Coast. They knew it was coming. And there were at least 3 days when they knew that it was headed towards New Jersey and New York. And yet, everybody thought, well, it'll never happen here. It's never happened before. Why would it start now? In spite of the warnings, Israel still went astray. In spite of the warnings, people still stayed in some parts of of the city of New York and New Jersey. I don't know if you saw it. We talked about it briefly yesterday morning in men's prayer, but in the news broadcasts and on the internet, there was a gentleman in New Jersey. He looked out in the front with his yard still flooded, and now with the waters receding, the streets are starting to show and the water's getting shallow, but in his front yard that's still flooded, there's a shark swimming around. Washed up on that with that 11-foot surge. And, you know, we all can picture 11 feet, but I want you to know that a 10-story building is 100 feet tall. The story of a building is considered 10 feet. So an 11-foot surge is right up to the second floor if you're at sea level. It's tremendous, tremendous damage. Shocking things. I'm sure a shark in somebody's front yard was the least of their worries at that time. But judgment comes, and it starts first at the house of the Lord. We know that judgment comes when people fail to heed warnings. New Orleans failed to heed warnings. New York did. All kinds of things. We have tidal wave warnings, early warnings for tsunamis coming across the ocean, thousands of miles. And sometimes people pay attention to them, and sometimes people just say, oh, well, it'll never happen here. There's all kinds of warnings, and the scriptures are full of warnings. Warnings about pleasing God, living lives in such a way that we're living them to the utmost of our ability to be righteous. But what's interesting is that in verse 14 of what we just read, it said, he shall be for a sanctuary. You know, do we run to him every time that there's danger? Do we fall on our knees and praise him for his faithfulness in generations in the past and say, Lord, please help in this thing too? And maybe it's not a storm. Maybe it's an emotional upset. Maybe it's a sickness or a disease that's taken over the life of a close one, or maybe ourselves. But there's warnings all around us. God was faithful to warn of the first big storm system. And Noah prepared by building an ark. Some people do heed the warnings. As we look at Psalm 18 this morning, we took note of the fact last week that at the beginning of the psalm, it's all about I will love thee. I will call upon the Lord. I, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And in verse 7, the 7 and 8, the pronoun changes, and it goes from I to he. You know, our immediate circumstances are what comes to mind right away. But as we cry out to the Lord, it's all on his shoulders. We're crying out to him because we're recognizing ourselves as being powerless. And so picking up where we left off last week, in verse 16, it says, he sent from above and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. How appropriate for the flooding in New York. He drew me out of many waters. But David is saying, the Lord took me out of the sea of humanity. All of the nations, all of the seas, the oceans of people. He took me out of the sea of humanity. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. You know, do you ever have that idea that now I've done it? I've opened myself up for this, and I wasn't looking long term. I wasn't looking at the consequences. I wasn't looking at all of the facets of what this choice or decision may have brought. And now I'm in the thick of it, and this is too much for me. I can't take it. I can't handle it. This is beyond my ability. The enemy is there to beat us down and cause us to doubt every moment of every day. He wants us to doubt our standing with the Lord so that we think, well, I've really blown it. I can't possibly call upon the Lord now. He'll never hear my prayers. But it reminds us that He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. And that's past tense. That's God's track record. David's been in those situations before when things are too big for him. We've been in those situations before. And what we find, though, is that this is still, to a great extent, a messianic psalm. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that Jesus faced that was too big for Him? And yet He's our Lord, He's our Savior, He's our Redeemer, and He's the one that can get us out of all of those problems and difficulties if we would just stop and pray and listen and take His direction. And sometimes it, and quite often, it means we repent. And we take a few steps backward. And we regain our footing on the rock. And then we stay on the rock as we find our way through and back out of the circumstance. But it says that even in those times when they're too strong for us, he's delivered us from my strong enemy, from them which hate me, for they are too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He was my stay. When someone prevents you, they put up a roadblock, say, you can't go any further. I'm not going to let you complete this task. And a lot of times we may think we're completing or working towards a task that the Lord has directed us to. And the enemy is there to throw up all the roadblocks, all the hindrances and everything else. They prevented me. Sometimes that word prevent can mean they led me to be paralyzed in the situation. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should go left. I didn't know if I should go right because there were dangers there too. Our choices and our decisions is, sometimes the best thing to do is backtrack. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. I was in trouble. I don't know if you remember the old Western character, Calamity Jane. Every time she turned around, there was one calamity or another that she needed to be rescued from. And there was always somebody there to help her. There was always some Savior. And it was usually in human form. But God sometimes uses humans to help us. He uses all kinds of different people. They don't even have to be believers. Somebody sees a problem that we're in, and the compassion raises up in them. And you don't have to be a believer to have compassion and empathy for others. Now look at Hollywood, all of the stars, and they're all involved in all of their different projects, from animals and pets and housing, third world countries, relief efforts. You know, we would really hesitate to say that they're believers, but we have seen their compassion and their empathy towards others. And the Lord uses the people like that, whether they're a believer or not, to help those that are in trouble, in any trouble, at any time. Our calamity doesn't have to be our end. What we have to do is we have to look for that outside resource. Maybe someone will see us. But we know that God sees us. And sometimes He sends those rescuers. He sends those extra resources. He sends the help that's needed. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He was the one that steadied me. He was the one that I clung to. He was my pillar of strength. He was my strong tower. He brought me forth also into a large place. Not only did He pluck me and deliver me from my enemies, and continue me, but he took me over here and he put me in a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Do you know that God delights in you? God delights in you. In Revelation 4:11, it tells us that we are made for his good pleasure. He delights in us. And sometimes I think we humor him. Sometimes he just likes to see that, oh, look, I can test them a little bit over here. I can test them a little bit over there. And in Genesis, it says that Abraham tested Abraham, or God tested Abraham. He tested him regarding his son Isaac. And he asked him, take the lad up to the mountain, and you'll sacrifice him up there. Abraham wouldn't dare tell his son that that's where they were going. The Lord tested him. How strong is your faith? Do you remember what I've said before? I'm faithful to my promises. Now I'm going to take you up to a mountain. I'm going to give you a testing. Or I'm going to take you into a valley and I'm going to give you a testing. Don't lose sight of me is the real key. Whether you're on a mountaintop or whether you're in a valley. He brought me into a large place. He delivered me. There was no crowding. Lots of room to run around or to just breathe. God becomes a place of refuge and a place of strength for us. He brings me into that large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. As he delighted in David, so also did he delight in Jesus. Jehovah God delights in all of his children, whether we are his through generations of people or whether Jesus was his through a direct impregnation. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now we can, as David is writing this, we can sit here and we can think, David, how are you righteous? We know that there's no temptation taken us as such as is common to man. We know that there's no temptation that took him except as is common to man. We know David as a king, as someone who had a lot of troubling thoughts. He made a lot of bad choices. He found himself in places that he shouldn't have been at the wrong time. He found himself in adultery. He found himself in conspiracy. He found himself as a murderer. And yet his weakness really brought him to an end of himself. And he repented of his sin. And he saw what was happening. And he saw how faithful God was to him in spite of the sin issues in his life. David had a lot of trouble. He had a lot of trouble with women. Solomon had even more trouble with women, his son. And the things that are passed down from one generation to the next are some of those very things. When we forget about God, then the troubles follow us. When we think that we're in his favor, when he's still making us accountable, we find that there's difficulties. We find that sin still tends to have its way with us. There's no other way to put it. When we get too big for our britches that God puts on us. He rewarded me according to my righteousness. Well, David had a sense of righteousness because he had faith. As we look into Hebrews and into the New Testament, we say that Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness. So what we can really say here is the Lord rewarded me according to my faith. My faith was counted unto me for righteousness. Your faith counts unto you for righteousness. Not because you're good, Not because you're some spotless, sinless creature, but because He saved you. He delights in you, and He says, I look at your faith, I know your heart, and I know what you're capable of. I know the good and the bad and the ugly all about you. But He says, I still delight in you, and He rewards us according to our faith. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. Our faith leads us to repentance. And the repentance brings us clean hands. So that nobody can point a finger to us. Nobody can point a finger and say, aha! Like they did with so many. Like they did even to Jesus. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. I may not have been perfect, but I never departed from my God. I never lost faith. I never deliberately intended some of the things. I found myself in dire circumstances. I found myself in situations that I couldn't control. I thought I would go in and find everything all laid out before me, but suddenly I'm in that place and I've been blindsided by temptations. And when we think of the things that, when we think of all the ways that David was tempted, when we think of all the ways that we are tempted, then we have a little insight into the humanity of Jesus, because He was fully God and He was fully man. When we quote that, there's no temptation taken you except as is common to man. Jesus experienced them, those temptations. In Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us, but He was without sin, overcoming those temptations. Seeing the consequences a long way off, heeding the warnings of His own word in the Scriptures. I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God, David says. And as we can see, not only David cried out to the Lord regularly, but so also did our Lord Jesus. He often took the disciples and the apostles out, away from the crowds, and He took them apart to pray. He prayed to Jehovah God, His Father. He took all of them. He took all of them that were in the upper room on the night of the Last Supper, and He took them into Gethsemane. He took them all out to pray. And then He took three special ones and had them come up closer also to pray. And then He went a step further and prayed. They were all praying, but only Jesus really knew what they were praying about. Only Jesus knew what lay ahead for Him. And He knew that it wasn't going to be a large room, it was going to be a cross. And even in spite of knowing what lay ahead of Him that night, He said, I have kept the ways of the Lord. The Lord laid out an agenda, a path for me, and Jesus kept it. David kept it too. For all His judgments were before me. I did not put away His statutes from me. I held to them and I clung to them. They were guidelines, literally guideposts for Him. You know, when you're driving along the highway, and maybe especially in the winter months, you see that maybe it's a little slippery under the tires, and you're kind of thankful, even though you don't want to meet them face on, but you're kind of thankful that there's guardrails along the side of the road to keep you from going off the highway and getting stuck, to keep you from going over an embankment, to keep you upright in your car. Those are the things that God's Word does for us on this path, this highway that we're traveling. I did not put away His statutes from myself. I was also upright before Him. when I confronted God, when I got face to face in prayer with Him, I was upright before Him. And I kept myself from mine iniquity. Even in the face of God, even in our prayer life, David says, I kept mine iniquity. I kept myself from mine iniquity. That sin that does so easily beset us. Attitudes, behaviors. I kept myself from mine own iniquity, even when I was before Him. So when we approach God in prayer, that iniquity is with us. And yet, it's in check. Because God has filled us with the Holy Spirit. And part of that Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance, which is self-control. Oh, that we would be Spirit-filled all the time and have that ability to self-control all the time. That someone might say something to us and we wouldn't jump down their throats, or we wouldn't start thinking evil thoughts towards them, or we wouldn't say something back to them that would hurt them. All of those things are with us, even when we approach God in prayer. And Paul says that in Romans. He says, even when the good I do, I know that evil dwells in me. And I know that I know what I should do, but those are the things that I don't do. And I do the things that I wouldn't want to do. Even when I do good, evil dwells with me, Paul says. And that's what David is acknowledging here. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from my own iniquity. I kept it in check, upright in faith. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness. Again, my faith. According to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight, not in my own, and not in the eyesight of many brothers and sisters or neighbors or people in town that know what I used to do or my reputation before I became a Christian. Those people are always ready to look at you and say, oh, well, he'll never change. And yet the Lord sanctifies us and sets us apart for change. And even in the midst of that, the Lord says, I see you as I like you to be. And because the Lord has experienced the same temptations that we go through, His grace abounds because He knows the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh is part of our human spirit. But His Holy Spirit is what kept Him from falling to temptation. His Holy Spirit in us is what will keep us from falling into temptation too. We'll recognize it for what it is. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and an upright man wilt show thyself upright. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. That's what God does for us. He shows Himself as being upright. He shows Himself as being merciful because He knows that we're not always upright. Turn up to Matthew chapter 5 just briefly. Well, we cover these two verses here in Psalm 18. Matthew 5 has something for us too. As Jesus is teaching the Beatitudes on the Mount of Beatitudes, we read in Matthew 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And here in verse 20, in chapter 25 of the Psalms, it says, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. You know, when we show ourselves merciful to others, God's mercy is upon us. When we show forgiveness towards others, He tells us in the Lord's Prayer that He'll forgive us. in the next verse, in verse 26 of Psalms, and don't lose your place in Matthew 5 yet, it says, with the pure thou shalt show thyself pure. And in verse 8, the next verse in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. See, that speaks of the purity of David's heart. It speaks of the purity of the heart of Jesus. Not only is Jesus going to see God, but he returned to the Father. He returned to Jehovah, and he took up the position of being on God's right hand. But are we pure in heart? You know, the purity speaks of righteousness. Purity speaks of holiness. And when we are that way, when we don't lose sight of God, when we don't lose sight of the fact that we're Christians, that I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, that there's kindness and that there's love shown, as well as a fleeing from sin. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. See that process of being faithful in our faith, faithful to the Lord, faithful to His plans for us, calling upon Him and having Him strengthen us in times of difficulty, in times of confusion. It creates an opportunity for us to say, okay, this is too big for me. I'm crying out to the Lord. Give me a minute here. I'm crying out to the Lord. And the Lord says, good. The Lord says, good. You're recognizing something that's too big for you. You're recognizing problems. You're foreseeing things. You're in the Spirit. You're sensitive to the spirit of that thing, and it's not a good spirit. And you're saying, you're confused. You think I might have led you there, but sometimes I'm testing you. Like I tested Abraham with his son. And he says, don't forget the promises that I gave you before. Abraham couldn't forget the promises that the Lord gave before. They're part of the Abrahamic covenant, that his offspring would be a blessing to all of mankind. He would be a man of whose name was renowned, that his family, his children would be a blessing to the whole world. And yet, Lord, this is what you want me to do with my son, my only son, Isaac. See, what he was doing was showing Abraham what he was going to do with his own son. That when Jesus was born, there was a plan in place. And it wasn't a ram caught in the thicket. It was the Lamb of God who was discovered for our benefit, to be a people of renown, to be a blessing to all mankind. Do you feel like you're a blessing to all mankind? That's the spiritual seed of Abraham, to be a blessing to all mankind. I don't always feel like a blessing to too many people at all. It's not that I don't have the desire to be a blessing. Sometimes I just don't know how to do it. Sometimes we don't know how to do it. Sometimes it's hard to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and say, okay, where's the compassion? Where's the empathy with this? Those are things the Lord has to raise us up. He has to raise those things in us. And when we've gone through things, when we've gone through circumstances, and we see the same circumstances in somebody else's life, we have the compassion and empathy raised. And I remember back in the early 80s, I suffered a broken leg in a motor vehicle accident, and it was a pain. But it was a few years later that my son Michael, and I had never had a broken leg in my whole life. It was a few years later that my son Michael broke his leg. Same leg, same cast, from hip to toe. I had empathy with him. I had compassion with him. I knew and remembered very well what I went through. And I knew that I needed to be able to help him and assure him and offer a physical hand to help him when he was having trouble getting around, when he couldn't quite reach his crutches, or when he needed to go someplace. And then you can have empathy. You've gone through it yourself. The Lord's gone through everything. That's how much empathy and compassion that he has for us. There isn't anything that he hasn't gone through that we haven't gone through. There's nothing that we've gone through that he hasn't experienced himself. That's why he's such an advocate for us. That's why he was so willing to go to the cross. Because he led his life for 33 years and he said, well, there's no way they're going to get through this without me going through that. With the pure thou shalt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. Those that are angry or those that are evil, God will show himself angry, and he will be their enemy. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks, the prideful. He's going to save the afflicted people, the downtrodden, the ones that are powerless, the ones that have no strength, the ones that have been used and abused by humankind. You will save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. You're going to level the playing field with those people that are so proudful. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. You know, it makes right away we can. Because the Lord's going to light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. How many people are without power? Have been without power. See, even in the darkness, God is there. And God knows that we like to see light. We like to see His light. We like to be able to have the warmth of a flame and the light of light to see where we're going on a day-to-day basis. But even in the darkness, God is that light for us. And He's the one that when we close your eyes and just, you know, that blackness, close your eyes and you cry out to the Lord and you say whatever you need, and suddenly the darkness isn't there. Just the thought of God being there at our beck and call, not to give us the things that we want, but to give us light, to give us hope. Doesn't matter how dark it gets. God brings us that hope and the light of hope. You will light my candle. You will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God have I leapt over a wall. I've run through a troop. I've gone through the gamut. I've broken through that battlefront. I've gotten to the other side. I have leapt over a wall. I've done the impossible. I've done the things that I didn't think I'd ever be able to do. And you brought me there because you delight in me. And that's what he's going to do with all of us. He delights in us, and so he's going to get us through that battlefront. He's going to get us over the wall. He's going to, whatever the hindrances are that the enemy puts up for us, God sees us through, and he makes it a direct line. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's literally, the word of the Lord is tested. People test it all the time. And God's still faithful. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. A buckler is the thing that holds us together. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? You know, God is the rock of our salvation. Jerusalem becomes a stumbling stone for the world and our political arena today. But Jesus becomes a stumbling block for the Jews because he wasn't what they expected. And sometimes God addresses us in ways that we don't expect him to. He brings us through things that we think are impossible, and he does it in a way that surprises us. Or in a way that he kills two birds with one stone and delivers two or three or more people from the trouble that they're in. Who is a rock except God? Who is God save the Lord? The benefit of believing in God is immeasurable. The benefit of understanding that God is the Lord and the Lord is God makes us accountable, and it takes a certain amount of the burden off of our shoulders. Because sometimes when we don't know what to do, you know, when we're kids, we don't know what to do, we can ask mom and dad. But when our parents are gone, or we can't reach them, then God is always there to guide us and direct us when we don't know what to do. And he leads us right back into his word. He points us to his son. And he says, here's your example. And he poses the question that has been posed to us for the last 10 years as a cliche. What would Jesus do? And when we sit and we think and we ponder that, then we know what we're asked to do then too. What would Jesus do? He would serve. He would minister. He would comfort. He would teach. He would lead. He would lead by example. He would lead by direction. He would teach. And he would walk his talk. Do we ever wonder why we have so much trouble in our lives? Sometimes we're not doing any of those things, or maybe we're leaving out some of them. And the Lord doesn't want us to leave out anything. The Pharisees came to him one time, and you know, he rebuked them. He says, "Oh, you tithe spices and cumin and all of those things, but you don't tithe compassion." And that's something that we don't tithe often. We're blessed to have a really high percentage rate of tithers here in this fellowship. But sometimes I find myself at a low ebb for compassion. It was an old bumper sticker I had. It was just typically of the world. Lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine. Words to not live by. Words to not live by. Because there but guided by the grace of God go every one of us. We've been in those positions where we find that, gee, I wish I had planned this out a little bit better. I wish I had done something different. I wish I had thought this through a little bit more. Because everybody needs someone to lean on. Everyone needs to have the Word of God put in front of them sometimes. And everyone needs to be able to be appreciated for what they do. Not that we're expecting big kudos or thank yous or anything else, but sometimes after we've lent a hand to somebody that has a need, Maybe there's no way for them to pay us back, and sometimes it's just the look on their face that shows us that whatever we've done is appreciated. It shows us that they feel the love of Christ flowing through us. And we see His face smiling back at us in appreciation. These weeks of recovery for New York, these weeks of recovery for all kinds of different people, we're coming on to that time of year during Thanksgiving when the appeals for donations will be flooding our mailboxes. There's all kinds of ministries, all kinds of services, all kinds of needs that we can make our donations to. But the Lord asks us to help. He asks us to serve others. He asks us to find a way. And I think when there's so many people and so many agencies and ministries that are crying out for help, it behooves us to say, okay, Lord, show me which ones. Show me just one that I can dedicate myself to. Community Lutheran Ministries is looking for people to help serve Thanksgiving. We know that the Salvation Army and the Open Door Mission are going to be doing the same thing. We know that there's great needs throughout our district, our area. We know people in our own families who have been touched with great needs. People in our own fellowship here. We know that there's people in New York. We know there's people in South America. We know there's people in Africa. And we think, Lord, how do I help them all? And it comes back to the story of a little girl on a beach. And she was picking up starfish. And she was throwing them back in the water. They had come in on high tide and they were kind of stranded on the beach. She's throwing them back in the water and an old man's going down the beach saying, what are you doing? And she says, well, I'm returning the starfish to the sea. Well, you can't save all of the starfish. Look at them. They're scattered all up and down the beach. What possible difference can you make? And she picked up a starfish and she said, I can make a difference in this one's life. And she returns it to the sea. There's all kinds of people asking for help. Help just one. Our shoeboxes are one of those ways. And we know that the shoeboxes also have the benefit of when they're delivered, they'll get the Word of God. They'll hear the Word of God preached and taught and given to them in a little Bible in their own language. Touch someone. Help someone. Heavenly Father, we would ask for our communion distributors to come up too. Lord, help us to see the tremendous needs that we all have. But Lord, just like you preached with the church at Corinth, that they all held everything in common and that they shared with one another. Lord, help us to be that sharing, that sharing person with all of them. And he shall be for a sanctuary, and for a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples, my followers. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwell in Mount Zion. He's hidden his face from the house of Israel, but he hasn't hidden his face from us. He's revealed himself to us completely. In his nakedness on the cross, in the bareness and openness of his heart, we see him as he works in our lives. Had he not been that lamb, or that ram that was found in the bushes for Abraham, we wouldn't have understood the level of sacrifice. And Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." The events of that Last Supper, that Passover meal before Christ suffered, was a life of service to show what he could do to overcome sin, to overcome the flesh, and on that Resurrection Sunday to overcome death. When we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would compassion and empathy bring us to do? It would be to expend ourselves to save others, to touch others' lives, to minister to them, as Jesus has done for us, as he has left us an example for. Let's partake of these emblems together. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by your ministry to us before we were even born, that you would call us to your table, that you would make us your bride, that you would delight in us, and that you would call us your own if we would listen to your words and have that same heart of David, not perfect but upright, full of faith and full of hope when we see you in the midst of things. And Lord, when you sometimes hide yourself, or when it's difficult to see you, help us to dig deeper so that we can see you. Lord, help us to weed out through the chaff. Help us to see you at the base of everything in our lives. You are our source. You are our future. We praise you above all things. We ask you to walk with us this week. Minister to all of those that are on our prayer list. And be glorified in all that we do. We thank you. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the credit. You deserve all power. You deserve all honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And after supper, before the disciples left and they went out to the garden, they sang a song.